not. He said, I can't really find out how to do what I'm supposed to do. But it's the Holy Ghost that we got to trust to help us to become who we're to become. But Jesus, notice what he did. He did not answer Satan based on how he felt, because if he would have answered the devil, he could have, look, when we get hungry, if you tell me something I don't want to hear, if you messing with me, it's time for me to bless you out. Preach. It's time for me to tell you something off the top of my head. It's time for me to speak for my emotion. It's time for me to speak for my flesh, speak for my feeling. But you can't afford to speak from your flesh and speak from your feeling. You must have enough word in you that when you're at your weakest point, that you still speak the word of God. I'm not going to speak what somebody told me. I'm not going to speak on how I feel, even though I may not feel good in this wilderness. But I'm going to begin to speak the word of God, because I know you took me out of the wilderness, but God put me there. Oh, come on and say amen. And so you got to leave me alone at some point. I'm going to resist you with the word of God. He says that, oh, come on and say hallelujah. Jesus then tells him, it is written, man should not, I'm sorry. Jesus tells him, it is written again, thou should not tempt the Lord thy God. Don't tempt God. Don't try to trick God into doing something. Don't try to test and see, well, I'm going to see if he's real. God, if you're real, I want you to help me right now in this situation. God said, I'm real whether I bring you out of this situation. Just in case you didn't know, I'm in here with you. Come here, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They didn't tempt God. They said, Nebuchadnezzar, you can throw us into this fiery furnace if you want to. But the God that I serve, whether he delivers us or not, he's still able to. And if he don't deliver us, we're going to go down trusting him. Do I have anybody here that say, I'm going to trust God come hell or high water? I don't need to be delivered from it. I just need to know where God is in it. Because wherever God is, that's where I want to be. If I'm in a situation and God is still there, I'm going to stand on what God has said. I'm not going to panic. I'm not going to throw it out. I'm not going to run out of this. I'm not going to get pulled out by the devil, because I'm going to stay right here and endure hardness as a good soldier. And I'm going to keep my head focused on God. And I'm going to keep my head lifted until the hills from which cometh my help. For my help coming from the Lord. I got wisdom in this wilderness. You're not just fooling with an amateur today. I got some understanding. I got some knowledge, because I've been through some.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. The gospel is on your radio. Call a friend. Tell somebody. 88.1.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do. Lord this morning. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord in this first Lord's Supper experience of 2017. One more hand for the Lord, our God. He is so worthy. So worthy. God bless you today. God bless you. I thank God for this opportunity to this first Lord's Supper to press our way. To say to God how much we love you and thank you for the precious blood of Jesus Christ, who without the shedding of his blood, we would have no remission of sins. It would do us no good to be here today. But God loved us so much that he gave his son. His son loved us so much that he gave his life. And we're here today to celebrate him. Celebrate him. Because he's worthy. There is so much power not only in the name and in the blood of Jesus Christ that it is able to handle our every situation. How many of you believe that? When I talk about the finished works of the cross of Christ, what he has done, he has made it possible for our future. He has made it possible for us to be in a right relationship with the Father. And I know many of you know this, but yet it's good to be reminded so that we don't take for granted this special time, this precious time. I was sitting there during the offering time, and the noise rose so loud. And the Spirit of the Lord says, this ought not be. This ought not be. We cannot become so comfortable in worship that we forget why we're here. I know that's a time for us to make joyful noise, but it's unto the Lord. It's not a time to socialize. It's not a time to communicate with our friends and say hello for the week. It's a time to reflect upon God's goodness and then give him out of a worshipful spirit our best. When we release our tithes, our offerings, our gifts of love out of our hands, it still, at that point, is not over for us. We're ushering it in to his presence with our praise, with our thanksgiving. That was a beautiful song the choir was singing. Beautiful song. It was designed for us to be ministered to as we minister to our Father in the given experience. God don't want your money. It's his money. It's his money. God wants you to worship him for who he is. Praise and give him thanks for what he does. And at this time in our worship service, that is your personal opportunity to really thank God for yourself. No one has to speak that to you. That's where you speak to God for yourself. Your gift and your praise usher up the given experience. And why is that so important? Because I don't want you to think you can go lay down $100, $1,000, $2, $3, and then start a a fellowship and just start talking and laughing and joking and playing and think that God's going to receive that and honor that. He's not. I want the experience to be real. Just like this, the Lord's Supper experience. You know, as we grow older, hopefully we grow wiser. And sometimes, you know, there are things that we don't always understand until we grow and grow more in the Lord and the things of the Lord and recognize this is how he operates. I've discovered some while ago, God has placed me here not to make you happy, but to help you. It's his job to make you happy. I can't do that. All I can do is give you what he gives me to give to you. And all that you're going to find that's worth anything is going to be in him. People come hurting, broken, ripped up from the weak, and family disarray, relationships torn apart, finances at their worst, and trouble on every hand. They come wondering, is there a word from the Lord? It's not joke time. It's not fellowship time. It's not. It's a time to hear from the Lord, to become refueled, to become refocused. And some of you, if you'll be honest today, you've been waiting on a blessing. And you've done everything you know how to do to get it to come, and it just won't come. There are reasons for that. Some of those reasons are because of what we aren't doing. Some of those reasons are because of what we are doing. But some of those reasons, according to the book of Daniel, may very well be because God heard us when we prayed, but Satan has put interference between earth and heaven. And so while God heard what you said and he's trying to get your blessing to you, the enemy is trying to block your blessing from coming. And when the archangel came and explained to Daniel that God heard you the first time you prayed, but it's taken 21 days to get you the answer because the prince of Persia, the prince of this world, the heir, has created so much conflict and interference in the spirit realm that it was not easy to get the answer to you. And so some people come hurting, needing. Some people on the verge of committing suicide, on the verge of deciding whether they're going to let their families go, whether they're going to quit their job, whether they're going to go through this, deal with that, whether they need to make this business decision. On and on. And they need to hear from God. And this is the place where they ought to be able to hear from him. This is the place where they ought to know beyond a shadow of a doubt, I heard the Lord today. I feel better about my decision. I might be by myself, but I know I got to make it because I heard from the Lord today. Family, folk, friends, may not understand why I got to do what I got to do, but I've heard from God today. Don't you think it meant something to Abraham when God told him to leave his family, his friends, all of his surroundings because he had heard from God? And he had a choice to make. Will I listen to them? Or will I listen to him? And we find ourselves in these kinds of situations. I would love to come and shout every Sunday. But some folk are so messed up. They don't need shouting. They need surgery. They need the Holy Spirit to go in and cut some things out. Put some things in. Rearrange some things. They need the Holy Spirit to come in and create peace beyond their understanding. They need the atmosphere of worship where God moves and creates miracles. And they come expecting to have an encounter with God. You know why many of you on Sunday mornings don't get much more than a regular Sunday morning service? Because that's all you come expecting. You don't come with an expectation, Lord, I want to see you move by your Spirit. And if you don't move in nobody else, I'm available. I want you to do a new thing in me. It's not Sunday morning as worship usually is. It is Sunday morning unleashed. Not the old way, but your way. I want to be what you want me to be, do what you want me to do, experience what you want me to experience. And know this, that God will move in such a way that he will give life-changing rhema to each of us who come expecting him to. It may not be in the song the choir sang. May not be in the words the deacon pray. It may not even be in the sermon the preacher preaches. But it will be in the person of the Holy Ghost. He will come in and fellowship with you and speak to you things underneath the skin. And you'll know it's him. I want to tell somebody here today, God is not through blessing you. I don't really believe you heard me today. You don't know how much God wants to bless you. When we were sowing seeds, it was not for God to get money from you. It was for God to get you in a position so he could give back, multiply to you. To create a spirit of expectation, to have you wanting and looking and desiring him more than you had ever, to get your attention. That's what he wanted from you. To show you everything you think you have need of, God's got it. And he wants to bless you. He wants to bless you. How many of you can stand another blessing today? You've been waiting on a blessing. It seems it just won't come. Doors are shut. Things are rough. It seems like you are done. The devil is a liar, and a deceiver too. God is not through. Blessing you, God is not through blessing you. If you really believe that, why don't you just lift your hands to the Lord and tell him, God is not through blessing you. So never give up what he promised he'll do. Oh, God is not through blessing you. Joel chapter 2 verse 25 says, and I will restore the years that the locust hath eaten up, the cankerworm, the caterpillar, and the palmer worm. My great army, which I sent among you. My brothers and sisters, one of the things that I want to just share with you, and I'm only going to be a minute. God wants you to know, listen, that he's not through blessing you yet. I know it feels like it's some time and it seems like it's been a long time, but God wants you to know, listen, he's on the verge of blessing you greater than you've ever been blessed before. He's just trying to get you in position to receive his blessing. He's got to straighten out some mess and some stuff that's out of order so that he can cause blessings to flow in your life. God does not do things if they're not decently done and in order. If you look at this chapter 2 of Joel chapter 2, it's a fascinating chapter because verses 1 through 11 deals with the locusts coming in and invading Israel like an army. Like an army. Now listen at this well now. Locusts come in by the millions and invade Israel. Well, verses 12 through 17 deal with God requiring of his people repentance. The reason why God permitted the locusts to come in, I just want to throw this out parenthetically, is because God's people became too unappreciative for the things God had done, the ways God had made, the blessings God had given. They had become too comfortable with God and had expected that he'd bless them no matter how they acted. no matter how they lived, no matter what they said and what they did. And God had to show them he's a holy God. You can't live any kind of way and expect me to accept that. When I'm a holy God, you should be holy even as your Father in heaven is holy. And yet the people of God had themselves wrapped up in everything else but God. God required of them repentance. Repentance. Why is that so important? Because, see, let me say this. If you never say you're sorry, then you never act as if you're wrong. There's something seriously wrong with a man or a woman who can't ever say, I'm wrong. Who can't ever say, I'm sorry. Who can't ever say it was my fault. Who can't ever take the blame for what they've done. Who's always pointing the finger at somebody. There's something wrong inherently with them. Because they then start acting that way with God. And so was Israel. And God said, no, you're going to have to repent. You're going to have to turn from your wicked ways. You're going to have to leave that old way of life alone. I blessed you. I've kept you. I could have allowed men to come in and destroy you. But I just called in my army. Listen, of locusts, not men with guns and staves and knives and weaponry, but locusts. Because I wanted you, listen, I wanted to get your attention. I wanted you to see that it wasn't the enemy doing this to you. It was you doing this to you, and I was in control of it all. Sometimes God blesses us so much that we forget to say thank you. We treat him any kind of way. We tip him on the table when we're giving offerings. We act as if we don't have to give him the tithe which belongs to him. We get by, we do, we give to everything and every. Y'all getting quiet, but that's all right. But when it comes to God, you don't reverence him. You don't worship him. You don't see that. And God gets tired of being taken for granted. And so he calls them to repentance. Verse 12 through 17. But verses 18 through 27, God promises them that he'll restore all the years that the locusts have eaten. Verses 28 through 32, he promises them his spirit. Now remember, this is a prophet prophesying about things to come. And I think I need to tell you, as I get a pre-shout moment in, that time he was talking about is already here. He was talking to them. It was on its way. But today I'm talking to you, it's already here. See, I got to get your mind right, your eyes right, your focus right. So, because God's not going to let go of what he has for you until you learn how to handle it right. Here's what God knows. If you lost it the first time because you didn't act right, what makes you think you're not going to lose it the second time unless you get yourself together? Now he's making a difference now because he's requiring of you a standard by which you must operate in order to get these blessings released back into your life. And again, I want you to see, he did not allow the enemy to take these things. You can't blame everything on the devil. Some stuff is you. You can't lie always on the devil. The devil made you do. What? Wait, how? How can the devil make you do anything when Jesus purchased you with his precious blood on Calvary, got the tithe and the deed, the title that says he no longer has a right